welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder, and today's episode is brought to you by Rumble Tough. The Rumble Tough Breeze is a top-of-the-line breast pump with a rechargeable battery that fits in the palm of your hand. And today's episode is also brought to you by Fairhaven Health. Are you leaking breast milk in between feedings? Now you can collect that milk rather than throw it away in your breast pads. We will hear more from our sponsors later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. If you need anything, see if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address. We'll send these episodes to your inbox and check out our shop page. And we're on Patreon. Please join us over there. It is so much fun with our mini podcasts and our extra episodes and our Zoom hangouts. You can find the link in the notes at the top or at the top of the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. And I forgot to do our recent shout outs. So shout out to our new patrons. Who do we have here? We have Shannon S. And I think these are new. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Whatever. Shannon S, Jennifer B, Megan B, Teresa. Those are definitely, I think I've definitely shouted them out before, but you know, good. Get a few shout outs.
Yeah.
And we're still holding our ongoing giveaway. So please send us your screenshots of the reviews that you leave around the internet, along with your address. Send that over to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com and you'll get a goodie bag of stickers and cards. And we will be in Detroit. We really hope to see you there. It's Babies and Bumps. It's May 7th. You can also find the link to get tickets right by the Patreon link in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. And we'll have a table there just hanging out all day. So we would love for you to come by, have some snacks, and sit down and just talk with us. And now Diane has our review of the week.
And it says, this show has been a huge help to me during the last 6 weeks. Just gave birth in February and was struggling with anxiety about feeding my daughter. I'm so glad I found you guys because there is an entire episode dedicated to literally everything I'm worried about. I wanted to weigh in about last week's episode, Touched Out and Unsexy. I don't remember when that episode was. It wasn't a few last weeks week. Ago. It was a few weeks ago. As a woman whose primary love language is touch, I love sex and feel strongly connected to my partner through cuddling, hugs, and kissing. But when I was 4 months pregnant, he stopped wanting to have sex. He said that when he looked at my changing body, he felt joy because he felt like he was seeing his daughter. But that joy kind of squashed any sexual urges he might feel. I was devastated. But do you know what I did not do? I did not pressure him to have sex. We talked a lot about it, and sometimes I cried because I missed it, and he held me, but not once did I try to change his mind and make him do something that made him uncomfortable. Ladies, you should expect no less from your partners. I was so bummed out hearing last week's episode, hearing from ladies who had sex before they were ready. At 6 weeks postpartum, I'm still not ready, and that's okay. Love you all, and take care of yourselves.
Interesting how that works.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
How that wasn't a pre- Yeah, I know. And that's actually something like it's a pretty common. I mean, I've heard that before of men being really uncomfortable of having sex when their partner is pregnant.
Yeah,
it's like, am I going to poke the baby in the face? Like, what happens? Where
I heard once all these things, too. Like totally. But just the whole idea of like, now she's a mother.
Yeah.
And how can I do these things to somebody who's a mother?
How can I do these terrible things?
These illegal in some countries things to my, you know. How can I do this with somebody who's having my child, you know, or who's gave birth to my baby and, you know, that just doesn't feel right anymore.
That's, there's a lot to unpack there. Mm-hmm. Society wise too, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting. Yes, I really like that. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Yeah. So, and I love how she said that she's not ready. As much as she loves to be able to have that connection, at 6 weeks she still isn't ready either. So
just understandable.
Yeah. So even if you're somebody that's like, "Oh, I won't have that. I won't feel like that. I'm going to want to." Again, like you might not.
You just don't know.
Yeah, you really don't know. And that's okay. Just work it out. Have a conversation about it like they did and work it out. But I'm really glad. Thank you so much for sharing, because that's pretty personal stuff. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And we're going to talk about skin to skin. I was telling Abby before we started this, when I was doing my research on this last night, I was looking for, I've got, of course, all this cool stuff about the benefits of skin to skin. But I wanted to find something that was the benefits of skin to skin with partners, because we know that babies benefit. We always tell people, you know, when I do prenatal classes and stuff, partners should be doing skin to skin as well. And I wanted to make sure we talked about that, that we talked about why the partners should be doing skin to skin. I don't want partners to think that they're slighted and they can't do skin to skin either. We always talk about the great benefits for between mother and baby, but for partners as well. But when I tried to Google skin to skin with your partner, with partners, it just came up skin to skin with your partner. And Abby thought that was kind of funny.
I think that's hilarious. Because you think about skin to skin with a baby, if you're thinking about that, you're thinking about like, you have your shirt off, your baby has your shirt off, their shirt off, and you're, you know, you're kind of chest to chest or belly to whatever. And so this is something that partners do, like, it's just like, well, we're going to have skin to skin. So we're just going to lay here, like, with our shirts off. And it'll just, we'll just lay here and do that. That's all we'll do. I've never met a guy who would like be like, oh, yeah, well, that's just, let's just do that. Let's hang out here.
Yeah.
That's
probably
not
so much.
Maybe people do that. I don't know. I have yet to meet one. I think that's really funny to think about.
That was funny. But I did find some cool stuff with it. You know, it says for dads, skin to skin contact, why skin to skin with dad is so important. But I really feel like we can relate that to partners. I don't think it matters. I think it's if it's the non-birth parent, that's what really matters. That's what we're talking about when we talk about skin to skin with partners.
Yeah, and people can get all twisted about this and get all like transphobic and stuff. And I don't give a shit because your baby doesn't care either. It's skin.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever this person is, whatever, however they were born, however they identify, it is skin. And it's skin to skin.
Right. And if it's the person that you are sharing your life with, they're going to have very, very good benefits of doing skin to skin with this baby. And we're going to talk about that too. At the, you know, after we talk about why it's, because it's different benefits than it is for the birthing parent.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's skin to skin is really fascinating.
Skin to skin sometimes, is so cool.
It's sometimes I really can't wrap my head around it because it's like, there's so much I can't believe like how many actual benefits come out of this just by laying a baby on a parent's chest.
We think it's just like this, because to us, it just looks like a baby laying on a parent. But what
sleeping,
so many physiological things going on throughout the entire body and the brain. And it's just incredible.
Some of it's very primal.
Yeah.
Like it's very, very primal. And some of these things that I was reading, I'm probably going to come over it because I pulled up all this cool stuff. But some of it was like, you know, the babies cry less. And that's one of the benefits is that babies cry less.
Absolutely.
And say that, you know, when they looked at different researches and they looked at babies that were held skin to skin and babies that were not, the babies that were not, like, 93% of them cried more than the babies that did. It was like a huge, you know, it made such a big difference. And the crying with newborns is that, where's my mother? Like that's their cry. That's what they're doing. They're that separation.
Right. And it's not even like, where's my mother? It's like, where is the only environment that I'm acclimated to?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is a foreign land. It's like, you're on a different planet. Unless the baby's laying on your chest, then it's like, okay, that's why they're calm. Cause like, oh wait, now I'm here in the system that I'm supposed to be in. And if they're not there, they're distressed.
Yes. That's a great word for it. Distressed. And this is kind of new and when I say kind of new in the medical world, new is like, you know, whatever, 15 years or something like that. But like my kids are 20 and 22 and I didn't get skin to skin with them. That was not something they were doing. So this is something that really started. I mean, this research and all this stuff is real, and them really pushing us to be, as soon as that baby's born, put them skin to skin with the parent. We know there's all these great benefits to this. This is a fairly new development. Did you get skin to skin with Jack?
So, yeah, I mean, skin to skin is not new. Skin to skin is like how humans have always.
Yeah. For them to push it in the hospital is fairly new.
What's also new is the medicalization of birth.
Yeah. That's true.
And then we realized that there's all kinds of things being disrupted. There are all kinds of, you know, things that separation of the parent and the baby are harmful. We found that out. Somebody didn't know that, I guess. And now there are, I mean, pushing. I don't know if I'd say pushing. Because if they really wanted to promote skin to skin, they would stop pushing unnecessary interventions, which actually prevent these things from happening.
Right.
And disrupt all of this, even just breastfeeding. All of these things that interrupt getting started with breastfeeding are all the same things that are going to interrupt skin to skin. And it's, you know, again, it's for like, you know, these for-profit hospitals are like, oh yeah, we really promote skin to skin, you know, but then they're also doing all of these other things that disrupt parent and baby in the beginning. Anyway,
yes.
When I was with go ahead. With Jack. So here's the other thing. With Jack, the nurse did come in, and I've talked about her before. She was really nice. She always smelled like coffee, and she was always trying to help me with Jack. And she would just like, you know, she was always checking on me, and she said, do you want to do, you know, you want to do some skin to skin? And I said no, because I have theories about skin to skin too. I think, first of all, I was extremely drugged up. I had all of these. I was induced. I had all these drugs in me. I didn't want to cuddle. I didn't even want to be awake. I wanted to die. Yeah. I actually tried to get up in the middle of my labor and run into traffic. That's what they had to like hold me down from not killing myself. All I had into my head was like, the only way to get out of this is for me to just die. So I'm just going to try. I just pictured myself running into the traffic. Anyway.
With your IV bag and everything?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I thought that far, but they were like, they're like all holding the IV bag still because everything was thrashing around. But then I had absolutely no like feeling.
Me too.
You know, I was like, oh, that's cool. There's a baby here. But like, I just didn't feel like it. And I didn't know about it. I didn't know that was like something that I should be doing. And then I think that this goes along with like baby wearing too, because I was, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to start wearing Jack. And whenever I put him like really close to me, like chest to chest, he would get fussy. And I'm like, oh, he just doesn't like this. Well, what kind of baby doesn't like being close to their mom? It was me. It was me that was really anxious about being that close. Because I don't know. Like we live in a world where we're not that physically close to people.
Right.
And so that was like a big hurdle to get over.
You know, a lot of it, like in the very beginning, because I remember too with Nathan, when I had him, his blood sugar was low or something. And they took him just for a little bit. And then they took me around to see him before I went to my room. And I didn't really maybe kissing his toe or something because they were giving him formula because of his blood sugar just through like a tube. And I had no idea about anything, but I felt zero connection to this child, like zero. And then I learned later on that a lot of that is because the Pitocin that I received can block those natural oxytocin responders. And that's the oxytocin that makes you feel that connected love to your child.
Yeah.
And that stuff did not happen.
That's why you feel dead.
Right.
Like you just feel like a numb zombie after you've had all those drugs.
Yeah, that's exactly what I felt like too.
Yeah.
I remember it totally. Yeah. Totally disconnected from him.
Right.
It's really weird. And then so now we know that, you know, this skin to skin stuff, and they really do push putting the baby skin to skin as, you know, as quickly as possible. I remember when I first started learning about this, and I worked for the WIC department, and I was doing some doula work as well. And I remember going in and being a doula to a mom who was one of my WIC clients, and trying to promote this for her and saying to the nurse, who was this old crotchety biddy, you know, she really wants to do skin to skin with the baby. And the nurse, I remember, I'll never forget this, nurse looked at me and said, she'll get the baby when we're done with the baby.
Oh, okay, bitch.
Yeah, right. So it's like, for some people, I think it took a long time for them to come around to the fact that babies don't need to be wiped down and weighed and measured.
Yeah,
and
they very much still are, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens in a lot of places. That still happens.
Yeah.
We're cutting the cord really fast. We're scrubbing them down. We're taking them over here to do whatever, shove things up their butts. You know, they like take their temperature. You know, like they do all this stuff. And it's like, you know, when I had my home birth, I mean, okay, I get Jack is going to be 12. So maybe that was a long time ago, but I doubt things have drastically changed that much everywhere.
It doesn't. It's the medical world. It doesn't change
exactly.
That quickly.
It doesn't change since 1940.
Yeah.
And having Exley at home, it was just so completely different. It was so completely different. He was just this slimy ass baby on me. They weren't going to touch him.
Right.
You know, they were doing all the things that they needed to do while he was laying on my chest. And I sat there with, you know, him connected to his placenta for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then when it was time to like birth the placenta and cut the cord and all of that, they gave him to Josh.
Yeah.
And he did skin to skin with him.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the benefits that babies get from this.
Do it.
So I've got a lot of different things here that I found, so I'll probably link all this stuff in show notes because I don't know that we're going to have time to talk about all of it. One of the cool research studies, I'll do this really quick because I thought it was kind of interesting. They did this research study, and this is from 2022, so it was like, you know, a minute ago. Looked at babies doing skin to skin for 5 weeks, 1 hour a day versus what they called like standard care or something like that. Extended exclusive breastfeeding. The group that had skin to skin had longer extended breastfeeding rates, had longer exclusive breastfeeding rates than those babies that did not do skin to skin, that just had regular care, that didn't do skin to skin once for an hour every day for 5 weeks, did not have the same breastfeeding outcomes as the babies that did. So that in and of itself is pretty fantastic. So this comes from Baby Guru, who I really like Baby Guru a lot. If you guys haven't looked at that yet, they've got some really good information on there. So, and she's got the 10 leading benefits of skin-to-skin care. So the first one is improvement in heart and lung function. Babies go through a dramatic transition after birth as they prepare to take their first breaths outside of air, outside of the uterus. Those held skin to skin by their mothers tend to adapt sooner than those who are not. They also tend to have heart and breathing rates that are both more normal and more stable. This benefit holds true for premature infants as well as those born full term. Perhaps the mother's heart sounds and breathing patterns are familiar to the baby after spending time in utero. Stabilization of body temperature. During pregnancy, a mother maintains her body temperature by sweating when hot and shivering and moving around when cold. After birth, babies have yet to acquire the same ability, so they can't adjust their own body temperature. In fact, when it comes to keeping a vulnerable newborn warm, a mother's body is better than an artificial warmer. One study that compared a nursery warmer, skin-to-skin care provided by the mother and skin-to-skin care provided by the father, found that the mom's and the dad's bodies were better than an electric warmer, with a mother's body having a slight edge over the father's body. Mm-hmm, and that's cool. Really, that's not because the dad sucks. It's just because the mom built this baby.
It's just the environment that they're acclimated to at this time.
I remember hearing one time, and I thought this was the coolest thing, that the baby, if you put the baby under a warmer, their body temperature will rise. But if you take them out from the warmer, the potential of their body temperature going down again is there. It can happen. Mm-hmm. If you put the baby on the mother skin to skin, the baby's body temperature will rise and it will regulate. So when they say the mother's body, you know, helps to regulate the baby's body temperature, that means they're going to stay there. It doesn't mean they're just going to, like, the baby's body temperature is going to come up, and then as soon as they take the baby's body temperature comes up and regulates, which means it stays there. It's not like just going high because they're with, you know, they've got that heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regulates. Regulation of blood sugar. Babies use blood sugar for energy. Before birth, they get glucose through the placenta. After birth, they get it from their mother's milk. If your baby's glucose needs, for example, energy needed to stay warm, exceed what he can get from his mother's milk or from his liver, he will experience low blood sugar. This can cause him to feed poorly, which can exacerbate the problem. The risk of low blood sugar is higher for babies born to mothers with gestational diabetes due to higher insulin levels in their blood. As the number of mothers who develop gestational diabetes in pregnancy grows, the number of babies at risk for hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar, also rises. Skin-to-skin care in the hours after birth can help stabilize your baby's blood sugar levels. And if you think about it, if their body temperature is regulated from the skin-to-skin, they don't have to use as much blood sugar to regulate their body temperature.
Yep.
So that's going to help to regulate their blood sugar as well.
Yes.
We should probably take a break.
That is true, huh? And we need to take a break. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by RumbleTough. The RumbleTough Breeze is a top-of-the-line breast pump with a rechargeable battery that fits in the palm of your hand. The powerful motor lasts more than 2,000 hours and has a 2-year warranty. The memory button allows you to record your most effective pumping session and recall it every time you wish. Combine the Breeze with the RumbleTough Go Cups and you're pumping hands-free and on the go. Every RumbleTough pump user qualifies for free pumping support with an IBCLC. Because they care, each pump comes with a manual handle kit to convert your electric pump into a manual pump at no extra cost. You should not have to figure it out alone. Let experts help you get the support you deserve. Additionally, every pump box includes a flange fit ruler so you can determine which of the 15 flanges they offer will fit you best. Yes, nipple size matters. Check out their entire line at rumbletough.com. That's RumbleTuff. And use code BADASS for 20% off of your purchase. And today's episode is brought to you by Fairhaven Health. The original Milk Saver is designed to wear on the opposite breast while breastfeeding, but sometimes we're leaking in between feedings when we are on the go or at work. The Milky's Milk Saver On The Go is a discreet and comfortable breast milk collection system that requires zero effort on your part. You simply slip them into your bra while your milk collects inside them. When you are ready to empty them, you pour your collected milk into a storage bag and add to your stash, or to use for any of the dozens of uses for breast milk. They cannot be seen under your clothes, they are small enough to carry in your purse, and they are reusable. These can also be used to protect sore or cracked nipples while they heal, as they create a small opening and protected area around your nipples. Save your precious breast milk, money, and the environment by cutting down and even eliminating the use of breast pads. Breast milk is worth saving. Check out the Milky's Milk Saver On The Go at fairhavenhealth.com and use code BADASS for 15% off. That's Fairhaven Health, FairHavenHealth.com, promo code BADASS for 15% off your purchase. And the sponsors and the promo codes can be found in our show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from, and at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. And over there at the website, you'll also find information about scheduling your very own one-on-one lactation consultation with Diane.
So the next one is initiation of breastfeeding. A fascinating video by UNICEF shows a newborn baby making his way towards his mother's breast and latching on right after birth. Every newborn, the organization explained, when placed on her mother's abdomen soon after birth, has the ability to find the mother's breast all on their own and decide when to take the first breastfeed. An alert to baby's natural instincts can help them locate, latch on, and breastfeed, providing they are in close contact with their mother. Even many infants in the NICU can receive their first oral feedings at the breast. There's another research study that I'll probably link in because it's really interesting, and we probably won't get a chance to talk about it, but it talks a lot about the skin-to-skin and the first breastfeed and the amazing ways that the mother's body actually changes to accommodate how the baby finds the breast. It's really fascinating.
Is it transfer, like the nipple color and areola color?
The nipple color changes, but then like the after birth, the areola becomes more bulbous and the colostrum, you know, Montgomery glands are, you know, smell like the amniotic fluid, and it just really
very cool.
So cool. Transfer of good bacteria. The role of the vaginal birth versus cesarean birth in transferring good bacteria from a mother to her newborn can't be overstated. Passage through the birth canal allows the baby's gut to be colonized with the bacteria in the mother's vagina. I know a lot of people think that's gross, but it's really important. Like, it's just important.
Well, yeah, another way, and that's why they're born face down, in quotes. Mm-hmm. So they pass toward back where the vagina and the anus come together to
yep,
collect
absolutely.
All of that bacteria back there. There's a reason
yeah,
that happened.
Important. Another way that babies get exposed to their mother's bacteria is through skin-to-skin contact after birth. Bacteria in the vagina and on the skin are different from bacteria found in a hospital isolate, so early exposure helps babies develop a range of healthy bacteria. Skin-to-skin contact also supports early breastfeeding. Some of the complex sugars in human milk are indigestible in the newborn, but are the perfect food for subspecies of bacteria that coat intestinal wall, boost digestive function, and provide protection from harmful bacteria. Experts believe that these good bacteria may protect against allergic disease and it may even help to decolonize infants in the NICU who do have Staphylococcus aureus in their nostrils. Mm-hmm. Reduction in crying. Who doesn't want their baby to cry a little less? I mean, come on. Studies show that babies who are held with skin-to-skin contact, particularly by their mother, are apt to cry less than those separated from their mothers. Some refer to a newborn's cry as a separation distress call. I think that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Noting that this is a mammalian reflex well-suited to calling the mother back to the young. During the newborn period, most babies cease crying once reunited with their mothers. Thinking anthropologically, whoa, that was wild. Thinking anthropologically about a baby's cry, it seems understandable that a baby is less likely to cry when he feels the protection and security provided by their mother. Having the baby room in with the mother at the hospital can help ensure that she is able to respond to the baby's needs and provide frequent skin-to-skin contact.
That reminds me of like, I don't know, I'm thinking of like penguins, but I'm sure it happens with like all animals where like, maybe not all, but like where the babies and the moms, they can like recognize each other's, or at least the mom can recognize the baby's chirps or cries.
Yeah.
Because they're always like big groups, you know, they're always together. And then if they get separated, all the little babies are like, me, 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 me. And then they find each other.
Yep.
I mean, that's them crying, basically.
Yep.
Find their mom again. That's how they find each other.
But I love how they refer to it as a separation distress call.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's
Did we
wild.
Not know that? We know that. Right?
I mean, I love the way that it's put in like that. But yeah, like I think there's a lot of people who probably don't realize that that's what it is.
Yeah, that's
they're like,
true. They're just like, why is this baby crying?
Yeah.
People like, are just like, I don't distressed. Get it. Why are they crying? Yeah. It's so interesting. We're so separated from babies.
I know. It really is crazy. Next one is relief from pain. Studies of babies experiencing clinical procedures show that babies experience less pain when held skin to skin during or even immediately following the procedure, and that the duration of pain is shortened by the close contact. Skin to skin contact is also more beneficial than oral glucose, the sugar water, and relieving pain during a heel stick for blood sampling. So what that means is that sometimes they'll take your baby for these procedures and they'll use sugar water. They'll put like sugar water on a pacifier or sugar water on a gloved finger and let your baby suck because that will help to relieve the pain. But they're saying that skin to skin is better for that. They should be doing this stuff with the baby skin to skin on the parent.
I mean, duh.
I know. Skin to skin care provides. It's
so funny. The pacifier dipped in sugar water. Like that is so clearly like trying to mimic breast milk from the breast.
Right. Exactly. Skin to skin care provides better relief and pain symptoms the longer the skin to skin care lasts. A comparison of 30 minutes of kangaroo care, which is the baby on the mom or, you know, on the parent, 15 minutes of kangaroo care and an incubator care found that the greatest relief from the longer amount of skin-to-skin contact. A study currently underway is looking at whether skin-to-skin care benefits continue over multiple routine painful procedures necessary in the NICU. And researchers have stated that they believe it will be effective and their work will lead to changes in greater implementation of skin-to-skin care in clinical practice. Enhancement of mom-baby communication. The time after a baby's birth provides an opportunity for parents to learn about their baby's behavior, signs of hunger, signs of fullness, signs of discomfort, and so on. Having the baby close skin-to-skin contact helps to ensure that the mother will learn her baby's signals sooner, improving communication and boosting maternal confidence, as well as helping babies develop a sense of trust and security. Easier transition from the womb. Babies who are held skin to skin are more stable physiologically than their peers who are placed in a warmer afterbirth. Their peers reminds me of like little guys, like sitting in a class together.
Yeah.
They also demonstrate better neurobehavioral outcomes as indicated by many of the factors that have been noted, including less crying, lower pain response, and better breastfeeding. In short, these babies experience less stress following birth as they begin to navigate the new world around them. Ruth Feldman, a professor of psychology and neuroscience at a university in Tel Aviv, notes that close contact in the days after birth is not an option, but a need for all mammals, not just human babies. Every mammal, she explains, has to be cuddled and in close proximity with its mother in the first days and weeks of life. Boost in maternal child bonding. The traditional, albeit outdated, medical model for birth has encouraged mothers to put their newborn babies in warmers and to have them transported to the nursery for monitoring by nursing staff while the mother rests in her room. Thankfully, this model is being replaced and mothers and babies are staying together from birth throughout the postpartum hospitalization unless there is a medical condition that requires separation. When mothers and babies are separated after birth, there are few opportunities to get to know each other. Touch is essential for mammalian survival, and skin-to-skin contact enables mothers and babies to use all of their senses in nurturing this new and vital relationship. While most of the early research on skin-to-skin care focused on benefits of skin-to-skin during the first hour or two after birth, sometimes called the magical hour, more recent studies show that skin-to-skin care boosts health well beyond the newborn's first days. Hold your baby close from the start and continue to keep them close throughout infancy. The power of touch is good for your baby and good for you too. So what she's talking about here with the magical hour, that is that first hour or so after delivery where the baby is skin-to-skin. And the other research article that I have that I said I was going to link in talks a lot about this magical hour after delivery where the baby will actually go through very specific stages. There's 9 stages of infant behavior that if we leave these babies alone, skin to skin, these babies will do this. And it's their internal process. It's something that is very just... what they do. Like it's just something that they do. Says during this first hour after childbirth, both mother and the newborn infant experience a special and unique time, a sensitive period, which has been biologically predetermined, especially after a vaginal birth. This is aided by the physiological state of each, the mother's high oxytocin levels and the newborn infant's extremely high catecholamine levels. Being in skin-to-skin contact with the mother after birth elicits the 9 newborn infant's internal process to go through what could be the 9 instinctive stages, which is the birth cry, relaxation, awakening, activity, rest, crawling, familiarization, suckling, and sleep. And this research study goes into this very much so in depth. So if you want to learn more about this, which is pretty fascinating, you can read about it. I'll put it in the show notes because it's a lot to try to like go over today. It's a lot of stuff. UNICEF also has really good information on skin-to-skin contact. It also talks pretty much about the same thing. A couple of the things that it added that was not in the first article that I was reading to you guys. Improves oxygen saturation, reduces cortisol or stress levels, particularly following painful procedures, encourages pre-feeding behavior, assists with growth, may reduce the hospital stay, improves milk volume if the mother expresses following a period of skin-to-skin contact with the expressed milk containing the most up-to-date antibodies. And that is if you're in the NICU. So if you are in the NICU or your baby's in a special care unit and you're separated, still try to do as much skin-to-skin contact as you possibly can. And they say that if a mother tries to express milk after that skin-to-skin, they'll probably get more milk.
Mm-hmm.
So after birth, babies who are placed skin-to-skin, and this, again, is still coming from UNICEF, a brief cry, which is very distinctive, which is their birth cry. They enter a stage of relaxation where they will display very little movement as they recover. They might start to wake up, opening their eyes, showing some response to their mother's voice, begin to make small movements with their arms and shoulders, drop on their knees like they're crawling towards the breast. They might rest once they find the breast. Again, these are like those 9 stages. They will self-attach. And if we kind of leave babies alone to do this, they will do this. And it's kind of what they're physiologically supposed to be doing after they're born, between mother and baby. So let's quickly talk about benefits of skin to skin with dad. And like I said, this is the article with dad, but it's about the partners. So there are some specific things I thought were pretty cool when it comes to some research that was done showed that, you know, they cry less. It's more comfortable for them. But it also, here's this. A small study that was done shows that babies were held skin to skin soon after birth. Only 14% of them spent more of their first 90 minutes of life crying. But when babies were cared for in cots, 93% of them cried for more than a minute. So they're saying, you know, infants, much like other mammals, instinctually recognize separation from their mother, and that crying is a genetically encoded reaction to separation. So one of the things that they said about partners was that they become more connected to their child. And it says that skin to skin research also theorized researchers measured attachment with a well-known tool called father-child attachment scale. Survey where dads reported how often they talked to, touched, cared for, and explored their child. They suggested that holding their infant skin to skin helped dads understand their baby's needs better. And they also theorized that the release of oxytocin associated with skin to skin helps relax parents and reduce their stress levels, which further promotes bonding. And that the skin to skin not only led to increased oxytocin levels in both mothers and father, but also increased cortisol levels. There was another study done of almost 300 father-infant pairs that found that dads whose cortisol levels rose when they first held their baby were more involved with their baby's care months later. So they're saying that like those partners that are holding their baby skin to skin more are more involved with their baby's care. They're more connected to their baby, and they're better at reading their baby. They're, you know, determining what their baby's needs are than fathers that did not do skin to skin or partners that did not do skin to skin with the baby. So it is really important. The father can also, or the partner's body will also help to regulate the baby's body temperature. It'll help release that oxytocin, which is that bonding hormone. Like, it is just really, really important that if, you know, especially right after delivery, if the mother cannot do skin to skin, then the other parent does. That is really important. And any point too, like, always keep that baby skin to skin. If mom wants to take a nap in the hospital, then the partner can put the baby skin to skin, you know? I mean, just so that you're both doing it all the time with the babies. And it sounds like you did that with cool. Josh. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were even like, they were just like, okay, dad, come on over here. Take your shirt off. They were like directing the whole thing. Not in the hospital. Cool. They didn't do that, but at home.
But at home.
They did here, and they had him do that. And there's he tells a story all the time. He put Exley on his chest, and Exley just started pulling on his hair. Chest hair, and it's just like the strongest
trying to crawl
grip ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild, but it's so amazing. Important yeah. You know, it is really, really important that they do that. And they it, you know, I mean, a lot of times partners don't know what their role is after this baby's born.
Well, I was gonna say that. So I mean, it's really interesting that the part about like partners who are doing skin to skin are seen to be more involved in the long run. And it's like, I wonder if it's kind of like a double-edged thing though, because like probably partners who are willing to be more involved would be more willing to do skin to skin.
Yeah, that might be true.
Like, you know, it kind of goes both ways, I wonder. But yeah, I think that's so true that partners just don't know what to do because you carried the baby, you birthed the baby, now you're nursing the baby, and the baby only wants to be by you. And like, you know, they're just kind of standing there like, well, I guess I'll take the garbage out. But, you know, this is something that they really can be doing all the time. Like, they are just as needed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can just put, you know, you can be like, lay on the couch. That's what you want to do. Lay on the couch and like have the baby on your chest and, you know, take a shower. You can go take a shower. You can just not hold a baby for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And your baby's getting the great benefits. And so is a partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, yeah. So that's skin to skin, kind of in a nutshell. Lots of cool info on it. It's really amazing. Yeah, that's it.
Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.